This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW, 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Much thank you and welcome to the one talk show in America that I can almost guarantee you this. We'll help you make better money moves, but you probably got to stick with us through the entire hour, if not most of the hour here on the Ray Lucia Show. Phone lines open, 844-RAY-SHOW. Call us now. We'll put you right on. 844-729-7469. Emails, of course, at raylucia.com. RAYLUCIA.com. Why aren't they at johndean.com?
I don't know. I suspect johndean.com sort of leads you into some sort of old Watergate deal.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
RayLucia.com is a lot more readily available.
Yeah, but nobody spells Lucia right. That's why I spell it out for them, because they always put an H in there.
Didn't we try to buy like L-U-C-H-I-A and a couple
L-U-C-C-I-A,
of different C-C-I-A?
Like Susan Lucci?
Right, exactly. Well, you get called Ray Lucia all the time by people who don't.
My cell phone. I have, when I say call Jeannie Lucia, they go, who?
Who? Yeah.
Oh, Jean Lucia.
Jean Lucia. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's why.
Steve Vernon, we're going to talk about him. He's a bean counting actuary, how older workers and retirees can stop worrying about falling stocks. Another buy and hold story. We didn't get to this one last hour. Should you pay off your debt or fund your retirement? I hope we can get to that, because a lot of people make, I think, a big mistake there. And a lot of that is promulgated by many shows like this one, where it's all about getting out of debt, getting out of debt, getting out of debt. Not that getting out of debt is bad, but at the expense of what is what we want to talk about here. But I start today with this one. And Johnny, this was not necessarily directed at you today, but it could have been directed at you about 20 years ago.
See, why? How is it I can never live stuff like this
because
down?
You're my buddy and I'll never let it happen.
And it's funny is why. Yeah.
Don't get cocky, because even the best sometimes get hammered by Mr. Market. Sit back, relax. It is the Ray Show right here, right now, and right on your television and radio.
Who, what, where, when, and why?
This is actually written by Jane Woolman Russoff, quoting Michael Batnick, who's a smart young man, but very, very smart. He's a good writer, too. So they start going through some people that have made some bonehead moves as investors, starting with Mark Twain, who, by the way, was the highest paid writer at his peak.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also really vulnerable to scams. I mean, he was involved in one scam after the other.
Yeah, I had heard, and it could be wrong, that he actually died with not a lot of money, Mark Twain.
I think that's true. I think that is true. Samuel Clemens is what we called him in real life.
We called him Sammy.
Sammy. But there's a lot of stuff you can learn from other people's mistakes. So let me get into a couple of them here. Stanley Druckenmiller. Do you know who that is?
The Druckenmiller kid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He ran George Soros's quantum fund for more than a decade, boasting 30% returns for 30 years.
Wow.
Now, you do a calculation on that and see how much a grand grows to in 30 years. Want me to do it for you?
You mean you're saying every year for 30 years?
You got $1,000 today.
Yeah.
Right? Just $1,000.
Yeah.
You give it to Stan the Man for 30 years. He does 30% a year. If this is true, I don't know. And it's $2,619,996.
Yeah.
$1,000.
Yeah, but what does $2 million spend like? You know, $1.6 million? Come on, will you? Please.
Yeah, sure. It spends like more than a dollar.
More than $1,000, that's for sure.
That's for sure. But he even got swept up in the, I guess it was the, he lost three, is this right? He bought bonds and currencies? What? And he made 30% a year for 30 years? Wow. But he got involved in the tech stocks, John. That's why I bring it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he lost $3 billion in 6 weeks.
Was this back in the crash?
Yeah, back in the crash.
Okay, I hope so.
So then they talk about John Paulson. Remember him, the hedge fund guy?
Yeah.
He bet against mortgage-backed securities back in 2007 and reportedly made $4 billion personally.
It was a good bet.
Only to make a bad investment later on and lose a kajillion dollars, too. Chris Sacca, the founder and chair of Lowercase Capital, he was a billionaire before age 40. Yeah, but he missed. I mean, how could you miss Snapchat, Airbnb, Dropbox?
I missed it all.
I did, too. And the best one here is Warren Buffett, because he is arguably the best investor of all time, right?
I guess. I suppose. He's had that reputation.
Back in the day, like 1993, he used $433 million worth of his Berkshire Hathaway stock and bought Dexter Shoes.
That's like 2 shares of Berkshire Hathaway.
Have you ever heard of
Berkshire?
Dexter Shoes?
No.
Me neither. So he paid... He paid $433 million for Dexter Shoes that nobody's heard of, which today would be worth $6 billion. So even guys like Warren Buffett make mistakes. So I guess the point here is don't beat yourself up over mistakes, because some of the wealthiest investors ever have made some mistakes, and you can't be an investor and get everything right. Don't beat up your broker, your financial planner, your money manager the same way. Because, you know, guys, you know, we've talked about certain, I won't talk about individual money managers because you might go out and buy them. But I know people that are brilliant, brilliant money managers that have made some pretty bonehead moves. And it's not because they got up one morning and took a stupid pill. It's because stuff happens. You have to be willing to accept a certain amount of risk if you want to try to go for the higher rates of return.
If I'm hiring a money manager to do this, though, I'm almost giving him instructions. If I say I want the best rate of return, I want you to go out and do it, I'm giving him instructions to take as much risk as is necessary. And you cannot go out that far on the risk curve or whatever out on the branch without it breaking once in a while.
Well, and this is why we talk about diversification. And the other day we talked about concentrated portfolios being more risky, but there's more upside in a concentrated portfolio. But the key, if you're going to buy concentration, which I fully believe in, by the way, if you're going to buy concentration and not have a core of diversified assets, then I would highly suggest you adopt a very patient buy and hold strategy. Because the other thing we've learned from all kinds of academic research, we talked about this a week or two ago, is if you don't have 10 plus years of track record, you looking at, you know, 3-year performance, 1-year performance, 5-year performance, it is not conclusive at all as to what is likely to happen going forward. So there you have it. 844 Ray Show, if you want to jump on board. Do we have time to get a call, John?
Well, we got Matt. We only have a couple minutes here. Maybe we can get started with
sure.
Matt. I hate to make people hold on too long. So Matt in Palm City, Florida, I think with a pension question.
Hello there, Matt. How you doing?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how can I help you today?
I retired recently, and I have the option to either take lump sum pay or take monthly income. I was wondering what is a better option.
Okay, well, tell me what the numbers are. How much of a lump sum will they give you?
Lump sum is $820,000, and monthly is about $50,000 a year.
Okay, so $50,000 a year, but I need to know a couple of things. That $50,000 a year, is there a cost of living adjustment with it?
No, but it is 100% over my life and my wife's life.
Okay, perfect. Now, how old are you and how old is your wife?
I'm 73 and she is 62.
All righty. So I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a break here momentarily.
Yes. And
I'll come back and give you some numbers after the break. Can you stay with us?
Hold on one second. We're going to run the calculator. It's harder to run the calculator while we're on the air. It's not as much fun.
Certainly not as much fun. And I don't have my camera anymore. We've got to get Adam working on getting the camera in here so the people on TV can watch me do the calculation.
That'll be the next thing. We're saving up. All right.
Stick around, folks. There's more of the Ray Lucia Show coming up. If you happen to have a money question that requires me to do a calculation, no biggie. I can do it for you. So give me a call, 844-RAY-SHOW, or simply go online, raylucia.com, click on the Ask Ray button. We've got a lot more coming your way, so don't go away, folks.
Business owner, wannabepreneur, or just looking to manage your assets, you found the right place. Biz Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show. Glad to have you on board. We have a caller. Is it Matt?
Matt in Palm City, Florida. We're doing a calculation for Matt.
Yeah, so Matt, welcome back to the show. So if I understand it, you are in your 70s, 73. Your wife is 62. And your company will offer you $820,000 in cash or $50,000 per year for the rest of your joint lives. Is that correct? Do I have that down right?
Yes, yes.
All right, so here's the deal. What other assets do you have, and how much income do you and your wife need to spend?
I have Social Security.
Okay.
And that's about $30,000 a year.
And what about your wife?
She doesn't have much.
Okay, so she'll be able to get a percentage of your Social Security. If she took it now, it's probably like 10 grand. So there's 40,000. How much money do you guys need to spend each year?
I think 30 plus 50, 80 should be enough.
Okay. Do you have any other assets? 401k money, IRAs, that sort of thing?
Yeah, 401k.
How much?
That's about another 800k.
All right. So you've got plenty of money. So let's talk about legacy assets for your heirs. Do you have any kids that you're worried about?
Yeah, I have four.
Okay, me too. And is it important for you to leave assets to them?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a complex thing. I don't want to do your entire game plan on the air, but let me just tell you, answer your first question. $50,000 a year, if your wife lives beyond the age of 92, that starts to become an okay deal. Now, how's life expectancy on her side? Because clearly she is more than likely going to die after you, since you're 11 years her senior and you're a male. So what's your wife's health like?
Her mom and dad are still doing okay.
All right, so longevity is in your family. How do you feel as an investor? Do you think you could invest the money at better than 4% per year?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the break even for you. The break even is about 28 years. Call it her age 90. Now, if you can invest at better than 4%, it starts to look better and better by taking the lump sum, but you have to assume a heck of a lot of risk by doing that. There's no cost of living on the pension, so but you've got all kinds of surplus money. So if it were me, I would like to blend the two. I'm a big believer in, you know, maybe not going all the way, but not taking all the risk myself. You certainly have more than ample money. Between the two, you got $1.6 million or so floating around. Very easy to get $50,000 a year out of $1.6 million. But out of $800,000, it becomes a little more challenging. You'd have to find out what a private annuity would cost. I don't know what it is, but actuarially, they all pretty much go to the same place. So I'm going to say, hold on, I'll be happy to spend a little more time off the air cogitating on this, but if it were me, I'd do half and half. All
meaning,
right?
Meaning what? You said half and half.
I'd go back to the company and say, write me a check that I'll roll over to an IRA for $410,000, and I'll take $400,000 and get $25,000 a year of guaranteed income. Now he's got $1.2 million to make up the other $25,000. That should be very easy to do on either a systematic withdrawal plan or some kind of other withdrawal strategy.
So you're saying take half of it. His $820,000 pension, take half of the lump sum now and allow them to annuitize or pensionize the
right.
other half.
That gives him the ability to be more aggressive in his investing, which would leave more money to the kids, the four kids,
yeah.
as an inheritance. Because once again, when you ascertain what his goals are, he obviously loves his four kids and wants to leave them something.
Sure.
So I want to make sure that he's got inflation-adjusted and inflation-protected income and also assets left over for the kids, and make sure that health care is also taken care of. So your situation is complicated, but I think we got a head start on it.
Yeah, so can you hang on, Matt? We'll get your number. Is that all right? Oh, you may be.
Yeah, they,
okay.
They
That's fine. Okay. All right. Well, but this requires more than what we can talk about.
Well, most of them do.
Yes.
So you've got to map out the entire goals. If it's just, hey, I don't really care about the kids, I just care about the security of the income, take the whole thing. That sounds fine to me.
Well,
you're still going to have $800,000, but we've got to make up for some inflation.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to take care of health care. But there may be some other ways to skin this thing. Remember we talked, when was it, a week or two ago, about how one of the great retirement researchers, Wade Fowle, did this study, and he combined a life insurance policy with an annuity. Well, he's got the annuity right there,
mm-hmm.
right?
From the company.
Yeah, from the company. So at that point, now it's a systematic withdrawal, and then whether or not you solve the early death issue, which I wouldn't be too concerned about here,
mm-hmm.
because his wife's only 62,
yeah,
and her parents are still alive and kicking. I don't know how old they were when they had her, but they got to be.
You got to figure they're at least
80 something, right?
There's
so many other concerns, but the healthcare thing is the one bugaboo in the system. So we've got to make sure that they've made preparations for long-term care for either one or both. And then we've got to address how much might be left over for the kids if he puts all of it into the annuity as opposed to maybe splitting it. I still would split it.
Between Social Security, well, just with their Social Security, they've already got $50,000, somewhere between 40 and 50,
exactly.
most likely. Certainly 40 or 30 and 40. 40. They only need another $40,000 a
right.
year. He's got a total, if he took the lump sum, of $1.6 million. Very easy to do. Now you're talking about solving other things that can eat into that, such as long-term care. And you know, at age 73, you know, it's time to, if they haven't looked into it, it's time to at least maybe get going on that.
Well, we also have to look at what the kids do. There's four children. Do you do an equal distribution? It's all going to be taxable. Are they going to be in a higher tax bracket than him? Should there be some Roth convert? I mean, all kinds of stuff goes through my brain.
Do you buy a life insurance policy of some kind that, you know, maybe goes to the kids and it gives you a little bit more flexibility?
And you have to look at that,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there's an expense to that. But the internal rate of return, we talked about that last hour, I guess, with Gene Pastula. The internal rate of return at death if they die early is very, very good. The annuity, though, is important. So the $820,000 providing him $50,000 a month is actuarially sound.
So you folks thought this was easy, didn't you? This is some complicated stuff,
but it's
why we do it.
It can get complicated.
Yes, it can get complicated.
All right, we'll take a break and come back with some less complicated stuff. How's that?
There's just so many factors.
Yeah.
That's what planners do.
All right, well, stick around, folks. There's a lot more coming your way right here, right now, and right on Ray Lucia Show.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows your...
This is Biz Talk Radio.
Keep listening to this station or take us on the go by downloading our free smartphone app.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back, folks, to the Ray Lucia Show. Thank you to Matt. I'm sorry if that got complicated for everybody.
Well, I'm not saying it got complicated, but I'm saying that there's what it showed was that there is so much that goes into a plan. There is so much thinking about this. For people who think, well, you know, it's 800 grand in the pocket. If I got to earn 4%, that's fine. But there's a whole lot more to it because you don't know how long they're going to live. There's a 10-year difference in age, 11 years in this case. There's Social Security, but there's, you know, a difference in Social Security. She hardly has any. There's just a lot of factors to
consider. I need to know more about the kids and so forth, because there is a big arbitrage potential. If kids are in a higher bracket, then he might want to do Roth conversions right now.
Sure.
You know, and if the kids are in a lower bracket, then perhaps it might be better for him to make gifts to the kids right now and let them do some investing for themselves. So there's all kinds of other issues, because obviously if they're in a low bracket, they don't have to pay capital gains tax. They don't have to pay taxes on dividends and all that good stuff.
So it's all planning.
I didn't even get into whether or not he had any post-tax money. Guy's got he's loaded.
$800,000 just in the 401k, plus an $800,000.
It's
not bad.
Very, very well. And he's out near Stuart, Florida, one of our favorite spots.
That's right. Was it Palm City. Palm City.
Yeah.
Yeah, just south of Stuart.
I get emails from Palm City all the time. I must be pretty popular in Palm City. Maybe I should go to Palm City and do
Florida Sunshine.
Or go to Surf City.
When was the last time we were in, like, Port St. Lucie to do
you and me together?
Well, we were in Florida, 15 years ago, maybe more. But I think the last time
you were there, the hurricane had just gone through.
It may very well have been. It's been a long time.
But I've been there a few times since.
Yeah, no, you're there all the time.
Yeah. Greg and Carol.
That's right. The
Ted
Wyatts.
Malice.
That was a pretty good movie, actually.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
All right, so I teased this earlier. I don't know if I can get to everything I teased. I hate that about
me.
You won't. Steve Vernon, he's an actuary, and he's talking about, you know, market crashes, strategies to protect yourself from market crashes. Let me give you the actuary's point of view. History shows you'll most likely experience a few more stock market crashes during your retirement years. The trouble is nobody, not even the experts, can reliably predict when they'll happen. Remember, actuaries are in the business of trying to reliably predict stuff. But the one thing they can't predict is when you, Johnny Dean, are going to experience some kind of a market crash.
No, they aren't able to predict that. They can predict in large numbers, but when it gets down to the individuals, no, you can't do that.
So he goes on to talk about the stuff that's really important, optimizing Social Security. For example, we just talked to Matt. He's 73. My suspicion is he probably didn't start taking his Social Security until he was 70, because he's a pretty smart guy. But his wife is 62. So now the question becomes, what is the best optimization of that Social Security for them? Not only utilizing the Social Security software and all that stuff, but just thinking about the taxation and so forth, because it gets even more complex when you start talking about that stuff, right? So making sure you maximize the Social Security, you maximize your pension income. The reason he called us is to try to determine what is the best way to maximize his pension. Should he take the lump sum or should he take the annuity?
Yeah.
And if he had no other money, that would be a pretty easy decision. You take the annuity because he's got a younger wife. Maybe she's not hip to investing or something like that. I don't know. But usually those that are less wealthy need to annuitize more. Those that are more wealthy should annuitize less. Because there is a trade-off when you annuitize, obviously.
Well, certainly there is. And in his case, there was no cost of living adjustment. There are a bunch of different things that you need to consider.
Right. So he says retirees who want more guaranteed income to cover their basic living expenses can consider bond ladders or even reverse mortgages. Well, as we've learned on this program, and Dr. Fowle and Michael Fink and others have done studies on the bond ladder, actually the annuity that he's got is going to work out better than a bond ladder in most instances. But here's the thing that I think is the crux of the issue. Let's say he takes the annuity, which would not be a bad decision, by the way. How do you invest your money then? Because is that not a bond and representative of a bond allocation in your portfolio? And if it is representative of a bond allocation in the portfolio, how should he invest the rest of his money? Should it be in a traditional 60-40 mix, or should it be in an 80-20 mix or a 90-10 mix? These are the questions that need to be thought through and answered, because remember what he said. He has four children. He wants to leave them a legacy. The more bonds that he has in the portfolio, the higher the likelihood is the legacy is significantly lower. $800,000 is a lot of money to a lot of people. When you divide it by four, not so much, right?
It's not bad, but it's not $800,000. Now, in his case, for the people just tuning in, he was offered the opportunity to take either $800,000 lump sum, 820, I think it was, or about 50 grand a year. And yes, he's got enough income apparently from his 401k and other sources where he could take this 800 or whatever it is, and he'll be able to invest it. In fact, that's part of the whole legacy planning. That's going to be his challenge, his legacy
planning. Yeah, so the key is to make sure you have an ample amount of, quote, guaranteed income to satisfy your basic living expenses, which is the other reason why I don't know what his basic living expenses are, but that's why I'm not totally anti his company's annuity. Because if I take Social Security and $25,000, I've got about $65,000 of his 80 grand that he needs that's guaranteed. Am I worried about another 15 grand with $1.2 million? That's like a 1.25%, 1.5% distribution rate. The dividend yield on an all-stock portfolio covers that. So that's the way my brain works anyway.
Well, it does. And it's a nice thing that you asked about legacy planning, because for some people, if they didn't care, as you said, what happens? Kids don't need it. They can get it, but I'm not trying to grow it for them. That becomes another element of planning.
Well, obviously, because if his wife and he are out on a boat, in Florida, and some massive wave comes and unfortunately takes them down, and he's received three annuity payments, that $800,000 is gone and has no legacy value at all to it. So I wouldn't mind sacrificing, say, half of that on the basis that it's more likely than not that she's still going to be alive and kicking at age 88 or 28 years from now, which was the break-even point, where the annuity starts to look better than 4%, right? But the other side of it is stuff does happen, and you can create a legacy plan that can help ensure that if you're worth $1.6 million, that your kids get $1.6 million, or the value of $1.6 million in 20, 30 years on an inflation-adjusted basis. And those are the calculations that I'd like to go through if I were him.
What you're talking about in this case is if you say, no, don't give me the 800 grand, I want to take the annuity, 50 grand, I'll do this for the rest of, we should live a long time. You mentioned if they die together, they've only done it for 3 years, they've gotten $150,000. The $800 that they could have had, which was money in the pocket, goes nowhere. They don't get it at all. And that's what you're talking about when you talk about them dying together.
Well, think about this for just a minute. I'm sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. If you have $800,000 and you could buy a 30-year CD at 6%, that's $50,000 a year, and you still get the $800,000 back.
That's true.
So remember, there's a return of your principal on the annuity. So the annuities are not, fantabulous. If it had a COLA, a cost of living adjustment, it would be different. So that's why I'm kind of splitting the baby here. I'm thinking that it's nice to have the guarantee, but it's also nice because who knows where interest rates may be in a few years. You remember back in the day, you could get an 11, 12, 13%. 15, 20-year CD.
That's true. We'll probably not see that again. But
I don't think you will.
But it's not out of the realm of possibility to get 6%.
But could you get 6?
I don't see why not. I mean, the average of the 10-year note has gone between about 4 and 6 historically.
Right. So I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
You've done it twice with the babies now. You've split the baby in half, and now you've thrown the baby out with the bathwater.
I don't want to do that.
I don't think that's a very good idea.
Okay, how much time do we have before we get to the break? Because I've got to get to this story. 1 minute?
You got a minute.
So I'm going to take 2 minutes of our next segment and just have a conversation with you, because I tease this and it's important. Americans focus on debt management but lose focus on retirement savings. This fellow, Jamie Hopkins, is the director of retirement research over at Carson Wealth, a guy that I know, Ron Carson. Smart guy. Good guy, too.
Ronnie Carson.
Yeah, do you know him?
No, but it sounds like a nice show. Here's a Ronnie Carson show. I'm sure he gets that all the time. I shouldn't talk like that.
He's a good guy. All right, and if you want to chat with us.
I'm sorry.
844-RATIO.
Yeah, 844-RATIO. I was just going to say, I don't know that, because I never dealt with a pension, that you could say, give me half of the lump sum and pensionize the half.
Some companies will allow you to do that.
Huh.
Some
I don't think I've ever talked
about companies want you to take the lump sum because it reduces their liability.
Well, you're off the books. You're off the books.
Exactamundo.
They love it.
All right, we'll take a quickie and come back. 844-729-7469. RayLucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button, and there's no H in Lucia.
Do you have a car?
Try all the episodes on demand at BizTalkRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Ray Lucia Show. I apologize that we don't get to very many emails in this segment. This is when we do them. If you'd like to email me, though, I do respond to everybody personally. Try to keep them short and sweet, and if they're complicated like our caller, I'll email you back and say I need, you know, X and such, more information and so forth. But I think this is important because so many people make the mistake of listening to shows like this one and thinking that the be-all, end-all is to get totally out of debt. Now, let me be clear. It is important that you get out of debt and tear up your credit cards, get on a cash basis as best you can. But if it is at the expense of you putting money away, let's say in your 401k plan or something like that, you really have to be judicious. First off, if there is a company matching contribution, the benefit of that probably far exceeds any interest you're paying on any credit card. Most companies, Johnny, have a 50% matching contribution.
That's pretty common.
I actually heard on a program, it was a month or two ago now, where a person said, and this guy's written books and all this other stuff. I've seen him on television. I don't care about the company match. Just get out of debt.
Oh, please, please.
And I'm saying, what kind of a moron would say that? Seriously. And it's just stupid. So if you got $1,000 and the company's going to give you $500, that's 50%. If your interest rate's 13% on a credit card, I like 50 better than 13.
What if you had a bank account where if you put $100 in, the bank gave you 50?
Well, that's
every
what
time
it
you
is.
Put it in, that's exactly what it is.
So that's one thing. That's the obvious.
Right.
The not so obvious is the fact that once you get beyond the match, man, do I pay off my debts or do I, you know, keep funding my 401k and paying minimum payments? Now, if you have a high interest credit card, it's going to make sense for you to get that sucker paid off. You're paying 13, 16, 20%. Yeah, go ahead and allocate money to get that paid off. Now, if you have a mortgage at 4%, no. If you've got a car loan at 3 or 4%, no. Here's why. When you pay principal on a mortgage, when you pay principal on a car loan, and you pay interest on that car loan as well, neither one, the principal or the interest, are deductible. On your home, the interest is deductible. You're probably in a 22% marginal income tax bracket. I would suggest to you, it would be better if you got an extra $1,000 a month and you're going to pay down low interest debt, or you can put it in your 401k plan or do a deductible IRA or perhaps even a Roth. You might be better suited. Put the money in the 401k. $1,000 costs you $780, doesn't it, after taxes? And then the interest that you earn on that money grows on a tax-deferred basis. At some point, you'll have enough money in the 401k plan if you follow this advice and invest not only the $1,000, but then you take the tax savings on that $1,000, the $220, and use that to pay down your debt. Now, it's going to take you a little bit longer to pay off the debt, but meanwhile, you've got $1,000 accumulating inside your 401k plan. You're not going to wake up at 48 years old with no savings but debt-free and not have the ability to have that compounding, that dollar cost averaging for the last, 10 years. So it's not that I'm anti-paying off debt. I'm anti-paying off expensive debt. I am not in favor of paying off cheaper debt at the expense of costing you compounding in your retirement accounts.
You're pro paying off expensive debt.
Yes.
I think is what you meant. Yes. The cheaper stuff, and let's be clear for people who just listen partially. What you're saying is 29% credit card, pay it off. 15% credit card, yes, pay it off. You made reference to a 4% mortgage, 4% car, something like that. You may even want to consider putting some of that, if you can, into a Roth IRA. If you're looking at trying to pay off your home, sometimes putting that money into a Roth over 15 plus years can pay off, especially if you're in your mid-40s and after 15 years, tax-free, penalty-free.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that strategy, by the way, is in 15 years, if you wanted to have the house paid off in 15 years, rather than take the money out of the Roth to pay it off, just take enough to keep making the payments.
Yes.
Because if you got a 4% loan, that's pretty good. Your Roth is probably going to make more than 4.
Right.
So that's, once again, this thing called positive leverage. You just use it to keep making the payments. Whatever interest you're paying, it's still deductible as long as it's less than like $750,000 or acquisition debt, or you know how the rules work. But under the new Trump thing. But you will end up with more money 30 years from now and a free and clear home. And it'll feel like a free and clear home starting in year 16 because you're not taking money out of your pocket. You're taking it out of your Roth. And those that are under 59 and a half that say, well, you can't take money out of a Roth without paying a penalty, that is not true. Whatever your contributions have been, all the way up to whenever you start taking money, those get to come out first. It's only the earnings that require the age 59 and a half thing.
That's right. You see, you think you can argue with us? You can't. You can't get around that. It's a wonderful strategy. I pity the poor person who was told between ages 25 and 40 to just put all your extra money, forget the 401k, forget everything, put it towards your mortgage, because by the time you're age 40, you'll have a free and clear home. Well, that may be true. Let's assume you don't lose a job, you don't ever need the money. But by the time you reach age 40, you've missed out on 15 years of retirement savings.
I had three homes by the time I was 40. There's another psychological advantage in doing this, and that is you might not be inclined to buy more than you can afford. You got a free and clear home. Many times you go, I'll just turn this one into a rental and I'll go buy another home and I'll borrow the down payment from my other house.
Right, yeah,
I'm not saying you don't want to be a real estate tycoon, but I am saying that saving money is important, and it's darn near as important as getting yourself out of debt, and it's more important than getting yourself out of deductible, cheap debt.
Mm-hmm.
And cheap debt in and of itself. You talked about auto loans. How many auto loans now are 12, 13, 14%?
Well, only the ones that can't get
subprime.
A loan.
Subprime.
Right, exactly.
But most of them, if you're buying a new car,
3%.
Yeah. We're out of time. We killed another segment.
Man.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Email me, folks. Go to raylucia.com, RayLucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button when you call me at
Ratio.
844 Ratio.
I don't know the number, you do.
God bless. Have a good day. Bye bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk.